Exchange-wise, ATS Singapore returns to the Sands Exhibition Centre on July 3rd. Grab your tickets now to secure your place. You'll hear the latest on retail media, live commerce and the impact of AI on the industry, plus much, much more. Join your peers in an outstanding lineup of speakers as we shed light on the challenges and innovations in media marketing and commerce. The Mad Tech Podcast Special, focusing on the most important topics in ad tech and martech.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of the Mad Tech Podcast Special, recording live from Cannes. Excellent. Okay, you can be quiet now. All right. I'm going to introduce my very special guest for this podcast, and then we're going to kick off with discussing two news stories. So first up, Michael Shang, SVP of Advertising Technology for StackAdapt. Welcome. Then we have Lucy Dalgetty, who is Global Digital Lead for Euronews. Welcome, Lucy. And our final special guest, Mike Follett, MD from Lumen. Hello, Mike. Fantastic.
Michael won that one, huh? I think he got the biggest
score. I think Michael did win that one, but that's okay. There's plenty more time, Mike. You can regain ground in the popularity stakes. Okay, kicking off with the first news story, which is focusing on MFAs, or made for advertising sites. Now, obviously this has made it into the news in advertising and marketing quite a lot over the last sort of 12 months or so, but very excitingly at ExchangeWire, we've just published a report in conjunction with Lumen, where we've actually interviewed 100 media buyers in the UK and the US, asking them how their media spend is directed and how much of it ends up on made for advertising sites. Alarmingly, 15.3% of their advertising spend ends up on MFAs. That's obviously a huge issue to the industry. Really interestingly, of that 15.3%, a lot of it comes from very large buyers, media buyers, which is rather surprising. You'd think that they've got more resources to direct to higher quality sites and higher quality inventory. And then I suppose the other element of this as well is that it's a big issue from a sustainability point of view, from an ad load and sustainability point of view. What also came out in the report is that for the proportion that have a lot of spend that ends up on MFAs, we're really valuing particular metrics over other metrics. So we know that there is a metrics and measurement element that is very closely associated with MFAs. So as I said, huge issue for the industry, big issue for publishers. Sustainability's got an angle here. I want to hear what you guys think we need to do as an industry to reduce the reliance on MFAs. I'm going to mix things up. I'm going to go straight to Lucy on this one. She's got a publisher and a brand perspective. Tell us what you think, Lucy.
Well, yes, coming from a brand perspective, I think the question comes really, where does the pressure come to the buyer themselves? So those metrics, which are all about perhaps efficiency, and you know, whether it's cost per click or acquisition, what are those efficiency metrics that are being considered? And I guess the balance between efficiency and effectiveness as well. So are we actually, are buyers under pressure to reduce costs, get reach, rather than actually effectiveness and engagement? And I guess from, you know, an advocate for brands and seeing perhaps long-term investment in brands, you know, that the effectiveness is very, very important from my point of view.
So you raise a really interesting point about the sort of perspective of how advertisers are trying to, you know, measure the effectiveness of their campaigns and what their goals are. Michael, when we chatted yesterday, you were saying that's a really key point as far as you're concerned from the perspective of media investment. What are your actual objectives and how does that then cascade down into where you direct your budget? What's your point of view on MFAs and how we as an industry should be seeking to avoid supporting them?
This is going to be a long answer, but it depends on how you look at it. I would say overall, calling out MFA is a good shorting mechanism because something has been happening and it's not necessarily for the benefits of the brand. But there's a background history on MFA, right? We can talk about that very quickly. But That's been happening. It's been called out. So since the release of ANA report last year around the same time, July, the MFA traffic has been going down, which is very fact or the proof the shorting mechanisms is working and the buyers are actually changing their behaviors, which is great. Now, talking about MFA, the reason why it's happening is primarily because, well, first, the publisher wants to go make sure through, after traffic acquisition costs, they're still profitable. And that's been challenging. And the reason why is that we got to go assume that if everybody can get a better user experience and make more money that way, everybody will do it. But not that's not precisely the case. So there are things happening. And also, from the vantage of defining MFA, you got to go actually define that so people understand what exactly, what does good look like so they can go optimize.
Yeah. Mike. You've got a lot of opinions on this, I'm sure. Tell us a little bit about, you know, your perspective obviously is going to center a little bit around metrics and what metrics, you know, brands and advertisers are using to measure the effectiveness of their campaigns. Tell us a bit about your perspective on this. Michael raises a really good point about the fact that MFAs, investment in MFAs is declining. What can we do to see a sharper and steeper decline?
Well, I think... it is going down because people are aware of it. Just, you know, sometimes light is the best disinfectant. Just knowing that it's a problem leads people to think, holy crap, what have I been spending my money on? But then once you've worked out that problem, you have to measure that. It was interesting in the report that you guys put together, just asking people what metrics they're already using to identify what is MFA. You know, and how you combat that. And right at the top, there was some things about viewability and time and view. It's really, you know, for an attention company, it was really cool to see that the third most used metric at the moment is attention metrics as a means of going, hold on, this stuff is good, this stuff is bad. What was really interesting, though, is what metrics that people were using but thought were crap. And right at the bottom of the list was clicks and conversions as a metric to use to say, you know, and that's largely from the interviews that you guys did. People have been, you know, trying to, you know, use advertising to gain clicks and conversions. And so that's what the fraudsters have been gaining. And that's the one thing you can't trust, which is the, you know, so it's interesting, I think, to work out just being aware of a problem and finding metrics that actually solve the problem. Rather than just either do nothing at all, or as in with, you know, clicks and attribution models, actually seem to make the problem worse. You know,
And we've got to believe that because those metrics appeared at the bottom of the list in terms of things that buyers find effective, that they will over time phase out. But I suppose, Michael, you raise a good point, which is this is all sort of motivated and driven by money, right? So what works most effectively from a financial point of view? Do you think we're there yet in terms of matching those two things up? Because sometimes using other metrics requires a different type of investment and a longer-term view. Maybe, Lucy, you've got a point of view on this from a brand perspective.
Well, I think that, I guess... investing in attention is very important for us and brand safety as well. And so, you know, genuine publishers and brands that, you know, have true contextual environments that can really work with brand, advertisers in a positive way to do that. There's an opportunity there and there's revenue there. I think, I guess the other point, though, is around sustainability, which moves away from the revenue conversation. And that is always a challenge because in every walk of life, when we talk about sustainability, there is potentially an intention gap, and cost and revenue versus sustainability can sometimes be a challenge.
Yeah. Mike, what do you think on that? Do you think that buyers are becoming more motivated to create a longer term view? Certainly that must be some of the conversations you have from an attention metric point of view.
Absolutely. I think what's happening again and again is you talk to agencies, you talk to brands, and they say, I have trusted the metrics that I've got in the past, these short-term click-based metrics, and they have got me into this problem. you know, those, it's the short-termism of digital marketing, the sort of idea that we can measure a click and then link it back to something that someone saw or claimed to have seen, you know, just yesterday or the day before, that has led to this short-termism and this lack of long-term sustainability, and sustainability in both senses, sort of business sustainability and ecological sustainability. So I think definitely there are an understanding that you need to have different metrics there. Now, something like attention is merely a proxy to something. It's an intermediate metric. No one buys advertising to get attention. You buy advertising to make a sale or make a memory. And I think what's happening now, I find, is that these new breed of outcome metrics that have come, brand lift studies, what Amazon is doing, linking everything to sales on store, they're much, much more credible than the old click-based metrics that we had. So it just as attention stuff is replacing viewability, so brand lift and sales lift studies are replacing the bullshit of most attribution modeling.
I was just going to add to that, you know, obviously what we're trying to do is persuade people and influence. This is the business we're in advertising. And, you know, if we're not connecting with humans over that, and, you know, a lot of this is perhaps coming down to bot traffic and that kind of thing, then the job isn't being done properly. So, yeah, I kind of echo what you're saying.
Michael, from your point of view, where do you think, you know, again, being motivated by following the money, do you think that there is, you know, a long-term trajectory here that's going to see an eventually no reliance on MFAs down the line?
It's very hard. Because you have to think about the publisher's monetization model. In order for them to attract or to acquire user footprint to the site, they got to pay some money to the search engines. Now, let's assume that's price X. They got to then recuperate the cost by placing ads on the site. Let's call that revenue Y. So Y minus X got to be positive. And sometimes, in the mobile space specifically, they have a very good understanding of lifetime value on the user. Therefore, they can be more patient, more long-term. But within the web environment, it's very, very difficult for Y minus X to be positive. Therefore, they have to place ads. Therefore, in order to be revenue positive. So on the publisher side, that's a supply standpoint. That's very challenging. Now, on the buy side, they can always say, that's not where I want to spend my money. But what eventually happens is that you basically take the money away and try to focus on something else. So it becomes more of an optimization game on both supply and sell. And that's why I said earlier, this is the shorting mechanism is working, which is great. So you will get to a supply-demand equilibrium. But in the short term, it's very difficult for that to fully go away.
Are we going to see that, Mike?
But do you not think that the market isn't working at the moment? You know, that there's evidence of a proper market failure because the outcomes are so opaque. You know, or if you can't trust the clicks as an outcome and you can only use, you know, sales lift and brand lift, which are only just coming on stream now, that because we had these dodgy click-based outcomes, we've ended up with this dodgy market full of fraud and full of MFA. I mean, I think it's interesting that one of the things that we found in the report is just looking at, like, how do you define stuff that isn't MFA, to go back to your point there from beforehand. And one of the big learnings is avoid websites where you have hundreds of ads firing at the same time. Clutter. You know, you have to have soulless positions. Ads that are alone on the page get loads of attention and work. And ads where you've got six ads all firing at the same time, none of them get looked at. No one can see the wood for the trees. You know. Now, when I go and talk to publishers about that, they go, but that means I'm going to have to reduce my supply by six. That's terrible. I'll be out of a job. And you go, no, that means you have to have one ad, but charge six times more for it. You know, or perhaps even more, because you're actually getting a better result for advertisers there. So if we looked at the actual proper outcomes, you know, memories and money, you could see that actually the market wouldn't end up with this this weird compromise with MFA, because we'd see that MFA just doesn't deliver the results?
I think that depends on many different mechanisms, right? Like balancing up at the same time. This is a hugely interesting debate. I'm gonna move us on, though, to the second news story, which is a widely reported uptick in ad spend. Ad spend growth is set to reach $1 trillion in 2025, which is significantly earlier than originally predicted. We're seeing some big stats for global ad growth for this year and next year. So I think 6.8% in terms of an increase predicted for next year, 2025, and 7.8% predicted for this year. And those predictions are up from predictions that were made in December last year. So there's huge growth numbers. Growth coming from digital channels, out of home, CTV, and also growth coming from the retail media segment as well. On the face of it, that sounds like really positive news. What I'm interested in, though, is your perspective on what that actually means for the industry. Michael, let's kick off with you.
First, thanks to the central banks for printing a whole lot of money. That's the core reason why I think that prediction hit, I'll say, is elevated up by 2 years. But I think overall advertising in general, advertising growth follow the GDP, is pegged to the GDP growth, and there's a reason why that's the case. And then when you look at that, that's about what, 4%, 3% on a annual compounded annual growth level. And then you look at the composition within. You have traditional and digital. So basically digital is eating up all of the traditional. So digital is growing at a much faster pace. And within digital, you have sections of programmatic, social, walled gardens. And you just got to figure out the composition. Exactly as you said, it's growing very quickly, but you got to understand where that's exactly that's growing. So, I mean, the first biggest driver is basically programmatic or digital eating up the traditional segment. That's linear television and traditional out-of-home, even audio. So we're seeing a lot of growth in those segments for sure.
Well, I think I'm going to go with a yes. It is a positive thing because... a couple of things. Okay, so whilst I guess the growth looks like it's happening in the US and China to begin with, and perhaps that most of the big media owners are within those two countries, 22 out of 25, I think, were the big media sellers from those countries. You know, obviously, we would like to see more growth in Europe, for example, and have some of those businesses shown up in that top figures. Yes, I think that retail is probably going to take, you know, it seems to be the one that's growing the fastest, and that's understood because obviously, you know, growth, the amount of data that retailers and businesses have. However, I think, again, sort of thinking back to long-term marketing, you know, if that short-term growth is going to be within e-commerce, and retail, there is a payoff perhaps in the long term because those brands will need to grow. Those brands will need to come out of those ecosystems and develop using other medias as well. So whether that's programmatic, TV, outdoor, radio, it should benefit everybody. And small challenger brands have to grow using other methods as well.
Yeah, so there's some good sort of potential positive knock-on impacts of that. Mike, what are you thinking? Positive story?
Predictions are hard, especially about the future. It's a brave man who makes a prediction about anything. Predicting that ad market's going to grow by almost 8% this year, well, of course it is. There's all these elections going on in countries like that. There's the Olympics, there's the Euros, obviously. The really brave prediction is a further 8% growth the next year, and that's astonishing. If you know, I think that's mainly based on Chinese and Indian markets, and it's those are markets where people are needing to learn about brands for the first time. Each year in China and India, another version of the whole of France or the whole of Britain enters the middle class. They've got more money to spend. They, you know, suddenly the role of advertising is just to teach people about all the cool shit that they could buy. You can see why that's growing. But that means that it's not, going back to your point, it's not going to be just retail media and buy this now stuff. For that investment to be effective, it has to be brand-based stuff. You know, giving people the memories and the associations that go with, you know, build your dream cars, or you know, Qingdao beer, or whatever it is that people are trying to sell. So, what I reckon, if this prediction comes to pass, God knows if it will, but if it will it come to pass, it has to be on big mass market brand building media. No, because that can be on your mobile phone as well. It doesn't have to be, you know, but that's where we'll probably see the biggest growth rather than necessarily it all piling into retail media.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because you're quite right. You picked up on quite a lot that was in the article. Growth figures in China, which is still about economic recovery. Really, the pandemic only finished 12 months ago there. So starting to see some growth there. And in those emerging markets, you're talking about that rising middle class that's boosting particular sectors as well. So travel is doing really well off that. This emerging middle class in India and, you know, more outward China travel. I suppose what I'd like from everyone is a sort of wrap-up points. Imagine that the predictions are right. What are we going to be talking about at Cannes next year? I love putting people on the spot. Michael?
Well, hopefully talking about regulation. I think one of the things we're excited about as we move forward is not to focus on what you shouldn't be doing, but rather what everybody should be doing. One of the things I think ought to happen right now is to think about how we can possibly implement rules like net neutrality in the internet advertising environment, and hopefully we'll be talking about that.
Lucy?
Well, one of the things in that report as well was around AI and the growth, massive growth in AI within our industry. So I think the prediction was over 90% by 2029. So that's only going to be more of the conversation and perhaps the sustainability conversation around that as well. Perhaps if all the money is going into retail, maybe we'll all get to Mars a little bit quicker. Who knows?
Mike?
Well, I'm building on that, Lucy, because I agree with all of that and what you said, Mike. I think it's going to be about outcomes and about understanding how showing people pictures on their phone leads to memory and then leads to money. And I think that one of the themes, you know, going back to what we were talking about MFA, the driver of MFA has been bad metrics that have led to bad outcomes for everyone, it seems. But this new generation of outcomes metrics, you know, what Amazon's doing now, what Google is doing with the sandbox, and allow you to make sure you understand the connection between what people see and then what people do afterwards, and what people see and what people think. And already at Cannes this year, we've seen a couple of examples of people doing it. But next year, we'll have just so much more evidence to understand that. And I think that's going to be really quite exciting.
So much more to unpack there, but let's leave it there. Thank you very much, Mike, Lucy, Michael. Round of applause, please.
Thank you.
And that was this week's Mad Tech Podcast.